Bible's open at Colossians chapter 3. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, it's such a privilege to come to you this morning as the living Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth. You who saved us by your grace through faith in Jesus Christ and Him alone. We thank you, Father, that this morning we can come to you and speak to you, come to your throne of grace with boldness, and speak to you as the living Almighty God and ask you to please illuminate your word, open up your word to us so that we can receive and understand. Open up our hearts and open up our minds, we pray, and enable me as your servant to teach your people, Father, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Right, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. And then the Apostle Paul gives us a short list: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Now, obviously, the Apostle Paul continues to say what we need to put off and things that we need to put on, but I just want to focus on the first few verses for this morning. Now, beloved, if there's one thing that I've learned from this pandemic, or let me say, during the time that we've been facing this pandemic, it is the temptation that we all face at some other stage of the pandemic, in the time that we've just gone through, to focus our attention on the here and the now instead of the things above, which Paul is speaking about right here in our passage. I mean, the world around us are filled with numerous temptations which basically distract us in a very subtle way to take our focus off the things that are eternal and place them on things which are temporary. Now, the thing is, when we focus our attention on the things of this earth, as Paul calls it, then it is easy to forget eternal matters or the things above. Very, very easy. And we are bombarded all the time with information about what's happening on this earth to kind of get us to focus on the here and the now. Because that's the way of the world. That's the way it works. But the Apostle Paul, when he speaks to the Colossian believers, he is telling them, listen, we're different. When the world faces or focuses on the things of this earth, we as believers focus on the things above, where Christ is with God. I've noticed that conversations nowadays easily revolve around the pandemic, lockdowns, people losing their livelihoods, food insecurity, unemployment, health issues. So it can go on and on and on. All temporary things. The things of this earth, the things of this world. Am I saying that these things are unimportant? No, I'm not. That's not what I'm saying. These things are important. It's important for us to talk about these things. But the Apostle Paul wants us to understand that it's important for believers to have eternal perspective on things. We need to think on the things above. What the Apostle Paul does in our passage here is to encourage the Colossian believers to look beyond the things around them and to focus their attention on the things above. Look at verse 2 again. This is what Paul says. He says, be mindful of things above, not on things on the earth. Be mindful. Now those words, be mindful, literally means that the Colossian believers, they were called upon to have an inner disposition towards focusing their attention on the things above. It is something that was driven from within, because they are believers, to now focus on things above. There was something that happened inside of them that caused them to start focusing on the things above. And I can say to you that unbelievers cannot do that. It's not possible. It is something that happens in and through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that enables us to focus on the things above and not on the things of this earth. So if the Apostle Paul says, be mindful, he's actually saying to them, just like a compass, always tend to, except if you've got a magnetic field or something, then it will deviate from north. But normally, a compass will always show you north. Hey? And that's exactly what should happen in the believer. In us and with us, there is an internal compass that actually focuses our attention upon the things above and not the things of this earth. Because we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit that enables us to focus on eternal things. And what Paul is doing here is just giving us a reminder that this is what believers should look like. A believer is someone who has the ability to focus on things different to the things that the world focuses on. Because we are different. We are new creatures in Christ. We have the ability to do things that the world cannot do. Not because of ourselves and what we have accomplished, but because of what God has done for us. Because we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. You see, it's normal for a believer to focus on the things above. It's not abnormal. It's normal. That's what believers do. But we know that the temptation is always there. And the temptation in the world is so strong sometimes to take our focus off eternal things and place them on the things here and now. Now it's interesting. When people look at believers, and the believer is focused on the things above, is heavenly minded, the world normally looks at us and they will call us Bible bashers. Or, yeah, you're walking around with a Bible under your arm and you're always busy with God, 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 God. It's just you Christians. It's just always a pie in the sky when you die. Many years ago, I listened to a song. I think it was Katie Pennington. I'm not sure if it was her, but the chorus of the song sounded something like this. Some say that we're so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. That's what the world accuses us of. Especially those who are focused on eternal things. Those who are focused on the things above, where Christ is. Those who are focused on Christ and pleasing Him and doing what God wants them to do. They say, you people are of no earthly good because your heads are in the clouds, man. It's interesting that that's not true. That statement is not true at all. I believe that the more heavenly minded we become, the more earthly good we will do. There's a good example. A woman with the name of Johnny Erickson Tada. Some say Joni. I've heard it's Johnny. Johnny Erickson Tada. She was 17 years old when she was paralyzed from the neck down. And she is confined to a wheelchair. And this was after a diving accident when she was 17 years old. She is now 71 years old. Which means that she's been paralyzed now for 54 years. Not being able to help herself. She needs people to help her. And then in 2010, she was diagnosed with breast cancer, stage 3 breast cancer. She underwent a mastectomy and chemotherapy, and then she was declared cancer-free in 2015. But the thing that caught my attention was during the 54 years of being a quadriplegic, she's been an inspiration to many, many people. I don't know how many people she has been instrumental in leading to the foot of the cross. I don't know how many people she has helped providing wheelchairs. I don't know how many people her life touched over 54 years. I mean, I'm included. She touched my life as well. And one of the things that stands out in the life of Johnny Erickson Tada is her focus on eternity. Because I believe with my whole heart, if she had to focus on the here and the now, being a quadriplegic, what hope does she have? What does she have to live for? When she's put in bed, tomorrow morning, that's the way she's going to wake up. She can't turn herself. She can't wash herself. She can't brush her teeth. She needs help with all of that. But she is heavenly minded. But she's not of no earthly good. She's of a lot of earthly good. And I believe it is because of her focus on the things above. If you followed her ministry through the years, I followed it for a few years. That's one of the things that stood out in her life. And in her book, titled Heaven, Your Real Home, she wrote the following, and I quote, "When a Christian realizes his citizenship is in heaven, he begins acting as a responsible citizen of earth. He invests wisely in relationships because he knows they're eternal. His conversations, goals, and motives become pure and honest because he realizes these will have a bearing on everlasting reward. He gives generously of his time and money and talents because he's laying up treasures for eternity. He spreads the good news of Christ because he longs to fill heaven's ranks with his friends and his neighbors. And all this serves the pilgrim well, not only in heaven, but on earth, for it serves everyone around him." What an apt description of someone who understands the more heavenly focused I am, the more that is going to reflect in my life on this earth, in what I do, in how I act. Beloved, when we become focused on heavenly things, it has an influence on the way that we conduct ourselves in this world. Our focus will always direct our conduct. What we focus on influences what we do. It influences our walk and our talk, what we do and what we abstain from doing. You see, if I'm heavenly minded, I abstain from certain things because it doesn't please God. When we are heavenly minded, our lives become reflections of what we are focused on. Because what it means to be heavenly minded is to be focused on Christ, on the person of Christ, who Christ is, what Christ has done for us, and what Christ does in and through us now, here on this earth. That's what it means to be heavenly minded. That's what it means to be focused on the things above. It's to be focused on the person of Christ who is seated with God in heavenly places. Absolutely amazing. You see, what we see in Christ, when we look to Him, when we get to know Him, when we get to know what He wants and what He doesn't want, as we look at Christ and as we focus on Him, what happens is we start to become like Him. We imitate Him because that's our focus. So I believe that we can never ever be so heavenly minded or so focused on the things above that we will become of no earthly good. Don't forget that we are Christ's ambassadors on this earth. You and I as believers are His hands and His feet and His mouth. We are here to continue the work that Christ started until the day that He returns, and then it will be done. We represent Christ on this earth. We're not here for ourselves. We are here for Him. We look to Him and we imitate Him. You see, when Christ came to die for sinners, so that sinners can become saints. He came to establish His church and build His church. When He ascended to heaven, the Holy Spirit was poured out to come and indwell believers, to enable believers to continue the work that Christ started. And if you read in Luke chapter 4, so beautifully explained from Isaiah, what Christ came to do, that He came to earth to proclaim the good news to the poor, those who are poor in spirit, to come and proclaim to them there is good news, that there is salvation now in Christ and in Him alone. He came to heal the brokenhearted, those whose hearts have been ripped apart by the influence of sin, of original sin, and the acts of sin, where their hearts have been ripped apart. He came to heal those brokenhearted. He came to set the captives free from the slavery to sin. He came to open the eyes of those who are spiritually blind, so that they can see the sinfulness of their sin and turn to Christ for forgiveness of their sin. He came to set people free who have been pressed and bruised by the consequences of their sin. And He came to proclaim that God in Christ will receive any sinner who would come to Him by faith, and who would repent of their sin and bow their knees before Him. You see, Jesus came to this earth to have an impact in the lives of people. That's what He came to do. And let me tell you what an impact He had. And by the way, you and I are results of the impact of Christ on this earth. Nobody has ever in history had a greater impact than Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Nobody has ever had a greater influence than Him. So, if we are focused on Him, if we are focused on heavenly things, if we are focused on the things above, which means we are focused on Christ, the result will be that we will have an impact in the world around us, especially our sphere of influence. Obviously, I will not have an impact on the whole world the way that Christ has it, except if it be His will. But my sphere of influence, I will have an impact, because that's what Christ did. And if I'm focused on Him and I want to do what He does and I imitate Him, I will have an impact on the world and the people around me. Now in Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 to 5, we see three very important things that I quickly want to share with you. First, we find that the Apostle Paul gave the Colossians the reason why it is possible for them to be able to focus on eternal things, and why he could call on them and say, listen, focus on eternal things. Focus on the things above. He gives them the reason why. But then secondly, the Apostle Paul also told them that they should do, or what they should do, to be able to focus on eternal things. There's something that they should do. And then thirdly, he told them what they're focusing on, the things above, will do for them. Those are the three things that I quickly want to share with you. Now first, the Apostle Paul tells the Colossian believers that the reason why it is possible for them to focus on the things above is because they have died and were raised with Christ. Look at verse 1. He says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Now, the word if can also be translated as since. So, since you were raised with Christ, seek the things above. It basically means that it should be a natural thing for the believer to think of the things above, since they were raised with Christ. If you were not raised with Christ, it's not possible for you to do that. But since you've been raised with Christ, now you can think of the things above. John MacArthur said in his commentary on verse 1, and I quote, he says, because of their union with Christ, believers spiritually entered his death and his resurrection at the moment of their conversion, and have been and are now alive in him, so that they understand spiritual truths, spiritual realities, blessings, and the will of God. End quote. You see, beloved, there's a mystery here. There's a union that takes place between a believer and Christ, in the sense that even when Christ died and rose from the grave, the believer died with Christ and rose with Christ. It's a spiritual union that didn't come about the moment that we were saved. It was something that was established before the foundation of the earth in Christ. So when Christ Jesus died, and when he rose, it was as if you died and I died and we rose with him. Now, does that make sense? Nope. Brother Eric always says it's as clear as mud. But that's what happens. There's a union between the believer and Christ. So that the Apostle Paul says, when Christ died, we died with him. When Christ rose from the grave, we rose with him. Now in verse 3, the Apostle Paul tells the Colossian believers that they died. And their lives are hidden with Christ in God. Now notice what Paul says. This word here is in the past tense. For you died. Past tense. It means that the believer's death took place in the past. Does that make sense? No, it doesn't. Because we stand outside of time and space. For us, my conversion is the day when things happened for me. That's how I look at it. But in the eyes of God, God that stands outside of time and outside of space, he knows all things at the same time, and everything that happens, happens at the same time, because with God there is no time. So when Christ died, and my conversion is simultaneous, something that happens at the same time. That's from a spiritual perspective. That's amazing. That's why the Apostle Paul can write to the Colossians and says, you died. Because you died with Christ. When Christ died, you died. When Christ rose, you rose. Does it mean that I physically died? No, obviously, that's not what it means. But it means that the death of Jesus Christ, there's a union between his death and the fact that I die with him. When Jesus died, every believer was spiritually united with him in his death. And this is a mystery. When Jesus died, all believers died with him. But not only was every believer united with Christ when he died, our spiritual lives are hidden with Christ in God. Another mystery. What it basically means is that we have spiritual life which makes it possible for us to have communion with God and enjoy all the blessings that God has for us as believers. Because Christ is in heavenly places, because Christ is seated at the right hand of God the Father, our spiritual life is now hidden with Christ in God. My spiritual life is with Christ. It's not with me, because I can lose things and I can mess up and I can do all kinds of things that are wrong. But with Christ, it's safe. It's protected. You see, when our spiritual lives are hidden with Christ Jesus in God, it means that the world cannot understand what is happening to me, because it is a spiritual thing. It needs to be spiritually discerned. See, we are different to the world. See, only believers can understand how our spiritual lives work, because we have the revelation that comes from God. We are set apart from the world. And the believer's spiritual life is protected by God. Nothing or no one can touch our spiritual lives because it is hidden with Christ. They can touch our physical bodies, yes. They can even persecute us and kill us, yes. That can happen. But they cannot touch our spiritual lives because it's hidden with Christ in God. It's secure, immovable, protected by the Almighty God Himself. You see, God made sure that Jesus Christ protects our spiritual lives and not us. All right, so first, we've seen that believers will focus on the things above because they died with Christ and are raised with Christ. That's the reason why we can do it. It basically means we are saved. Those who are saved can focus on the things above. Those who are not saved cannot focus on the things above. They will always focus on the things of this earth. They cannot focus on the things that's above. And you can look at their lives and you will see it very, very clearly. You will see the difference between a believer, because a believer will focus on the things above. Yes, sometimes they will be tempted to take their focus off eternal things. It happens. But they will always return back to focusing on the things that are above. But the unbeliever, they can't. They will always try to pull everybody back to the things of this earth because that's all they have. All right, secondly, in our passage we learn what believers should be doing. And that will enable them to focus their attention on the things above. Just look at verse 1 again. This is what Paul says. He says, "If then, or since you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God." So you see the exhortation here? The Apostle Paul calls believers, and he says to them, seek those things which are above. Seek them. Albert Barnes said in his commentary on verse 1 that believers should seek the things above as the objects of pursuit and affection and strive to secure them. To seek means, I'm not just looking for it. I want to find it. And when I find it, I want to secure it for myself. So for the believer, when we focus on the things above, and Paul says, seek the things above, he says, look for it to find it, and when you find it and pursue it, then grab hold of it so that you can take it and apply it and use it in your life. So it's not just seeking for it. There are a lot of people that would look for things and they seek for things with the purpose of never finding it. It's like men. I'm guilty. Because what sometimes happens is I would go into the house, or I go into the kitchen, or I go somewhere in the house and I would look for something. But I will just go like this. Stefani, you know where that is. So I'm looking for it with the hope of not finding it, because my wife is going to tell me where it is. Much easier to find when she tells me. That's not what Paul is speaking about here. Paul says, seek with a purpose to find. And when you find it, to secure it, to make it yours, so that at the end of the day, you can use it in your life. So to seek means that the believer should earnestly focus on the things above. It must be important to that person that they have no other desire but to seek to find. You see, heavenly things should be the things above all other things in the mind and the heart of a believer. Should be the thing that we really focus our attention on. And then in verse 2, this is what the Apostle Paul says. Not only seek those things which are above, but he says, set your mind on things above, not on the things of this earth. So not only seek so that you can find it, but set your mind on it. The believer should consciously think about the things above. It should be a conscious decision. I don't want to just find the things above, find out about Christ, find out what Christ wants. I want to imitate what Christ is. What I want to do is, I want to consciously think on how I can apply it in my life. The believer should be spending time and energy to concentrate and to think and to meditate upon things above, on heavenly things. Remember, like a compass that always points you north, we need to be focused on Christ above all things. Beloved, the believer's thought life should constantly be drawn towards the things above and not the things of this earth. There should be a renewing of our minds, as the Apostle Paul said to the Roman believers in Romans chapter 12. A renewing of our minds, a focus on the things which are above, where Christ is. You see, if our thoughts are continuously on the things of this earth, then I believe there's something wrong. Maybe it's time for some introspection. If you find yourself thinking of the things of this earth most of the time, that your focus is on the things of this earth, then maybe you've never died with Christ and were not raised with Christ. Maybe you're not saved. Maybe it's a good time to do some introspection and to see whether you are truly saved. Because a believer, like a compass, always focuses on the north. So a believer will have this desire inside of them to focus on the things above. Yes, they will be tempted not to do it, but they will always return, because that's what a compass does. It will always return north. That's what a believer does. Always returns on focusing on Christ, on the things that are above. If our mind is focused on the things of this earth, maybe it's time to seriously start setting your mind on the things above and start calling on Christ unto salvation. But then it's also true that it's possible that you could be thinking at times of the things above, but you're consumed by the things of this earth to a large extent. You've lost focus. Then, beloved, maybe it's time for you to get onto your knees before the King of Kings and Lord of Lords and say to Him, "Lord, I've lost focus. I've been tempted to focus on the things of this earth, and I pray that You will forgive me, so I can once again focus on the things that has eternal value." Maybe there is a deepening that needs to take place, a refocus that needs to take place in your life. You see, God works through believers who are focused on Him. God works when our focus, our minds are set on heavenly things. It's amazing what God does through His children when they are focused on Him. It's absolutely amazing. So I want to urge you, I want to encourage you, I want to exhort you, as the Apostle Paul did with the Corinthian believers, focus on the things above, where Christ is. Make it your life ambition. Make it your life goal. It amazes me how much effort athletes put in to be the best at their sport. I normally look at their dedication, their hard work. I was watching a young man in America last night. He's the fastest runner on his hands. They said what kind of problem he has, but he doesn't have a bottom part of his body. There's nothing there. He's muscular, this guy, amazing. And his goal is, he wants to be the best Olympic athlete that ever existed. That's his ambition. That's what he wants to accomplish in life. amazing story. But as I was listening to him, I thought to myself, if only you could take that focus and put it on Christ and eternal things. Just think of what you will take with you to heaven. Because he can get all the medals. He broke the Guinness Book of Records on the fastest man on his hands. You can't take that to heaven. It means nothing for eternity. Paul Washer said in a sermon, Live for Eternity, on June the 17th, 2010, he said the following, and I quote, These Olympians, how majestic they are, but only for a moment. They start training when they are 4 or 5 years old. They never do anything but train until they're about 22. They run a 9-second race for a medal. They hang up. And that's it. Then he concludes by saying, Oh, this life is but a vapor. But amazing how athletes will spend hours and hours and hours refining their sport, whatever it might be. But there's no eternal value. All that effort for a medal on a wall, for some short-term glory. Beloved, there are so many people who spend their entire lives focusing on being the best at whatever they choose to be the best at. They discipline themselves. And some even succeed. Most don't. But it has very, very little eternal value. What the Apostle Paul does, he says, Believers, I want to show you the best way there is. The best way there is to focus on the things above. Because it has value for here and now and for eternity. It hits both ways. Up and down. Alright, so first we saw why we can focus on the things above is because we died with Christ and was raised with Him. Second, we saw that what we should do, and that is to seek the things above and to set our minds on the things above. And now third, we see what focusing on the things above will do for us. When we focus above, the Apostle Paul continues from verse 5. And he says an amazing thing. If you read it in the context, it just blows your mind. Because in verses 1 to 4, he's laying the foundation of what he says in verse 5. If these things are true in your life, look at verse 5. Therefore. See that word? Well, that's in the New King James. Therefore. Because you died and were raised with Christ, and because you are focusing on the things above, you are seeking after the things above, and you set your mind on the things above. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. What he's saying to us is, because you've died with Christ and were raised with Him. Because your life is hidden with Christ. Because you are seeking the things above. And it's obviously because of God through His Spirit that enables us to do that. Because that is true, you can now have victory over sin. If you don't, you will not have victory over sin. You can only put sin to death in your life because you are dead, you died with Christ, and you're raised with Him because you are saved. You see, when you are saved and you seek the things above and set your mind on the things above, you will have victory over sexual sin. That's the first thing he says. There will be no more place for unclean thoughts and unclean intentions. How can you have unclean thoughts and unclean intentions if you are focused on the things above? It solves the problem. People that has a problem with pornography, the reason why they have problems with pornography is because they're not thinking of the things above. They're not setting their minds on the things above. They're not focused on the things above. That's why they're focused on the things of this earth. If you want to have victory over sexual sin and you want to have victory over unclean thoughts and things unclean intentions, Paul says, if you think of the things above, focus your attention on things above, you will have victory over those things. But you will also be able to stand strong against physical and mental, emotional lusts. You will be able to be victorious over desires to gain more, especially the things that are forbidden by the Lord. It's possible if you think of the things above. You see, when someone wants more and more of what is forbidden, they are following their own desires instead of following and obeying the Lord. And the Bible calls it idolatry because it is self-worship. I am running after the things that I desire. And the problem with sexual sin and sexual lust and all these things are all the same thing. It is self-centered. It's a form of self-idolatry. You become your own idol because you do what you want and you're not doing what God forbids. Oh no, you're doing what God forbids instead of doing what God wants. And the way to have victory over this is to focus on the things above. You see, when you focus on heavenly things, God enables us to have victory over all such sin. And it's amazing how Paul lists just a few. But you can add all sins in there. You want victory over sin? Focus on the things above. Beloved, we are called to focus on the things above, on eternal things, on heavenly things. For the believer, it is to our benefit. Make sure that you are doing what the Apostle Paul exhorted the Colossian believers to do. And I want to challenge you this morning. Ask yourself the question, did I die with Christ and rose with Him? Am I truly saved? Do I have the desire from within, like a compass that always shows north? Do I have a desire, something inside of me that is pushing me towards the things above and not the things of this earth? Because if you are going for the things of this earth and seeking the things of this earth and thinking about the things of this earth and focused on the things of this earth, maybe you're not saved. But if there's a desire for the things above, even though there are times when you're focused on the things of this earth, then God is working, because it's only God that can do that. He's the one who enables us through the power of His Holy Spirit. So, ask yourself, did I die with Christ, rose with Him? Are you seeking the things above? Are you setting your mind on the things above because it has enormous eternal value? And it has value for here and now. Ask yourself the question, are you experiencing victory over sin in your life? Because if not, the chances are your focus is wrong. You're not focusing on the things above. That's why you're not having victory over sin in your life. But if you are victorious, it is because you are focused on Christ and on Him. alone. May the Lord help us to adhere to this exhortation of the Apostle Paul when he spoke to the Colossians, and truly focus our attention on the things above and not the things of this earth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that through Christ and through Him alone, it's possible for us to have victory over sin. Thank you that salvation is in Christ and Him alone. And thank you that through the Holy Spirit that indwells us, that your Holy Spirit enables us to seek the things above, to think upon the things that are above. Thank you, Father, that we, as your children, can embrace the spiritual truth that we've heard this morning and live by that truth. And I pray, Father, that as James said so beautifully, that through our works we can see whether somebody has faith or not. Father, may it be visible in our lives that we have victory over sin because we died with Christ and were raised with Him. Because we are focused on the things above, that we are victorious over sin in our lives, and that we are influential and we are reaching out and we touch the lives of people around us, that we have enormous impact in the world around us. Make it possible, Father, we pray. Make this truth real in each one of us, as we pray in Jesus' precious name.